while Lee had made, as you'll see, an offer that he would have George Starcher here available for us, when we did not renew the contract and George had other opportunities, and incidentally, his other opportunity is to give him $750 a week plus traveling expenses, he took some of these other opportunities. So he is not now, at this time, available to us to do all that we want him to do.
George Starcher?
George Starcher isn't. And so he suggested that we continue on with McLean. He'll do as much as he can. And what he can't do, McLean will have either do himself or have Bob Hill do. Now, Bob Hill has been up here several times and is, you know, very, very up on what our problems are. I told him that there had been a little unhappiness with Lee for some members of the Fairbanks delegation. I didn't know if it was all the members or not. And he said, and I said, the thing that really bothered me is now that we're this far along without somebody and problems are already arising, it's getting toward the end of the legislative session, we're approaching an interim period, I thought it would be a poor time for us to start looking for somebody right now. Furthermore, I thought that if we were going to look for somebody, it would probably be better to look for them after we get a new president at the university. There were other considerations, but I personally am recommending that we continue with McLean and Starcher for another year. If we desire a change, I think the last part of this year, as long as we'll have the same legislative council and the same higher education subcommittee, I would assume that we could then, if there is great dissatisfaction, look for other people, and there are other people we could have. Does anybody have anything you want to say?
We're going to have to send somebody up to get Ziegler for the vote. What do you think of that proposal? Have you read the letter?
Yeah. I think it's fair. I would like to see an expansion in one area.
Whatever we want.
Yeah. But you should write it, and I think, after wrestling with these budgets, primary education for so many years, I think somebody online and soon, we should seriously consider where are we going? Are we going to take education as close to the kids as possible the first 2 years with that person in favor? Then third year, we're going to have to cut the cord, or we're going to have to say, we're going to set up a first-rate school, public administration, for example, in Juneau, and a first-rate business administration and language, and the hard science in Fairbanks. And the decision is made for the kid. And if he wants a hard science, he's going to Fairbanks. If he wants public administration, he's coming to Juneau. If he wants business administration or management, he's going to Anchorage. Because, number one, the duplication is eating us alive. Number two, I don't think we ever have a quality first-rate school. We try to have three. We don't have the resources, all the kids to support. I think some way that there, we should get some guidance from sooner. Because if we just keep adding and adding to Anchorage without making some hard-nosed policy decisions, it'd be irreversible in a few more years.
I agree with you, and I think one of the things has been the uneasiness on the part of the people in Fairbanks. They have a feeling that everything is going to be taken away from them. Yeah. And I think that we ought to as soon as possible, you know.
Get some input this summer and make a decision next year. I think they run out of time.
You were referring to that as people, not legislators.
Yes, that's what I'm referring to people who
people themselves are in worse shape about it than the legislators are in general, I would say.
Your suggestion then is
that... No, I'm not saying necessarily that it has to be there, but it would make sense, you know, because the state of government is here, that if you're going to have a public administration and a discipline, it should be here.
It
shouldn't be up there in Fairbanks. You know, that, to me, that wouldn't make no sense. And Fairbanks has the facility for your hard science, your mining, engineering, research, chemistry, physics.
What it was meant to have been.
Physics. You should say that's where it is. And strengthen it and have a first-rate program If you don't, then you're going to, you know, you're going to see on a gradual basis.
Constant
I'm from Anchorage. A gradual basis, and this nothing sectionalism about this. You know, low chemistry and more chemistry and more chemistry. Then you're going to see more low physics and more physics. I think decisions should be made. Zap, here it is. And once the kid decides they want to go to University of Alaska and major in physics, decisions are made for them where they're going.
Well, I think that's a good plan for a couple of reasons. One, and it's inevitable. I don't care how we want to do it. Anchorage, because of the population center, if we don't find a system or a method, Anchorage is naturally going to draw in the larger number of students for many reasons.
The people there,
and there's more to do, and
job availability too.
Everything.
But if climate.
if
the regionalism out of that.
It's carried too far.
Bitter amount of state budget
down,
goes out.
a plan like Josh suggests, that would be down to a minimum, and it would promote, in my view, a standard of excellence that we wouldn't be able to achieve in education otherwise. Now, you could have in Juneau, for example, you could have political science and public administration, School of Political Science, Public Administration. The capital's here, and the legislature's here. You could have in Anchorage your arts and science. You could have in Fairbanks your research, and Sitka you could have something else, and in Kodiak or Seward, wherever, your marine sciences.
We're going to have to make some decisions along those lines.
And some other decisions we're going to have to make, and that is, we cannot continue to explode into community colleges. And we absolutely must establish some standards before we can start it.
Yeah,
before we
absolutely.
Can just drop it into as a budget
absolutely.
Item.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we aren't equipped to do this sort of thing.
No.
No way.
No.
And they should be non-political decisions.
Because
who's going to make a decision like that?
Well, I mean, if somebody comes and says, you know, here, this is the way it is, here is a good plan, these are the criteria they have in other areas, you know, this is what could suit this state.
Then we make a political decision to accept it or not.
Well, yes, but I mean, it's hard to make a decision against something like that on sheer political grounds.
Teach
well, me. Well, Tom, no kidding. I'm being very serious about it. If a legislator can go home and say, look, we hired a consultant. They're experts in their field. The guy's had 30 years. Big reputation in the academic world. He says, this is what we've got to do. And so I'm following his advice. You know, and this is why I voted like that, even though it meant that maybe we didn't get something that would be politically desirable from the standpoint of politics. It was still the right thing to do for higher education, and people will buy that. People will buy that.
Languages in Bethel, yeah. Yuppie.
So what happened?
Oh, Helen, you're priceless.
you want to get, you know, a lot of the heat off. I think that you should require, somewhere through a resident, some way, the university, you know, to work in this area. So between the university and our own consultant, legislative council could meet, you know, late fall on that, you know. Then you have a proposal, and then you. Somewhere in between those two, you come with a plan and down. You know, one of the deal where everybody's in this together. But where we're going now, we're not, and we don't have the resource, you know, to
spread
everybody
ourselves
to it, not to do a first rate job. I don't think.
Another thing, of course, we're going to have to face up to is this post secondary commission that we have to have. You know, if we're going to get vocational.
Where's that bill?
It's still in Helen Burns' committee, and she's having hearings on Wednesday. Now, we have George Starcher here, and I think we can use this as an excuse to say, Helen, you have to have a joint hearing with the Finance Committee. Have the bill all signed, ready to go. Have a joint hearing with the Finance Committee, and let's make her do that.
What bill is this now?
think it's 216.
Well, what is it?
It's a federal
requirement.
Yeah, it's a federal requirement, post-secondary higher education commission. And of course, here we have the university pulling, the private schools pulling, vocational over here pulling, and...
Is that the one that we, the council, submitted?
Yes.
Had that?
That's it.
They can't be John about that thing now.
I know.
For 6 weeks.
And I sit down with her daily and say, dear Helen.
Monday, we got to settle all these things.
That's
a
big
deal.
That's the biggest deal.
I almost said, Norman, Tom, we've just got to get a hold of her before we go to that noon meeting and just explain to her now that she's got to talk to Earl and have set up a joint hearing on Wednesday.
They do a lot of paper shuffling in that office. So every morning, those girls would just. Have you been over there?
Over where?
Was it HEW? God, those girls work. They duplicate all
she
day
has,
long.
She has that one and that tuition business, and we should have both
work.
Of them.
Yeah,
you know, while we have George, and that's the excuse we can use to get him out of her.
When is she supposed to come out with the bill?
She was supposed to have had it out.
Artic and Joanne Miller will come out the day after, before.
Yeah. do you want to take Joanne back with you?
Why isn't somebody, is Ziegler going to vote right? If he's not, there's no point in getting him.
Oh, sure he'll vote right.
Otherwise, if somebody gets
him, I'll go down
and get this thing wiped out.
I'm sure he will.
Come on and shut that
off,
Mr. Speaker.
He's right up above us.
So why do we want to shut it off? Have
you ever figured out anything on the presidents and all this conglomeration stuff?
Oh, I feel this strong I did last year. And if you go ahead and start regionalizing, you're going to create a problem. We're actually going against the national trend. That may be good. But we're almost, because they had so many problems. You know, and this is why most place across the country, you know, combine and have one board of regions. I'm angry with some of the regions. You know, I have to throw some in the river. But most legislators found themselves where the community college people came in,
yeah,
and the vocational people came in, and the higher education, they had a state school and the university, and they were just being whipsawed to pieces.
Sure.
And I think if you establish three well-defined regions with president, and then you will have three different ones, it's still going to be beating you over the head.
How many
well,
of them
why,
did you pick up when you left?
Pardon?
How many of them did you pick up when you left?
Many what?
Those letters?
Maybe it was yours I took here. I just grabbed one.
Well, I had read it through.
See, I suspect that if you make this decision, then you won't have the problem that you have now to a large extent. There can always be some deal between campus, but you won't have it to a large extent. Because first of all, initially, you're going to break some of this up because you're going to have to, some of those guys are going to have to move from one place to the other.
I think we ought to ask McLean Associates just to give us to do an in-depth study or report on community colleges, when they should be established and when not.
And what criteria?
Yeah,
and
what the criteria?
And the extent of facilities that we should have in various places and the extent to which we should limit disciplines at various campuses. Tell me this report.
Okay. But I think don't go further, Tom, and say, you know, have the university to do something, then you're going to create some problems.
What do you mean by
it
that?
Will.
I mean, I had in mind if they came up with a report and we liked it, we'd pass some laws to put it in effect.
Yeah, but they should, if they didn't have any input, even if you modify the hell out of what they had to say,
there's a tendency of the landlord to the body.
Can you take care of that, Bill Bob?
Yes, sir.
Even if they said a report and you disregard it, and you did complete disregard it, then you have less flack. Then if you, in a vacuum almost, we, you know, get our consultant and have them do the report and you like it, and you, you know, crank it through the system, and then you're going to have the same problem because one of their feelings today, which is, you know, something that we should consider, is the fact that, you know, we have left legislation and we're administering the school system also, you know, the school system. And I think you would just be acting for it on that front. And you're going to have some animosity created when you start moving discipline from one campus to the other. But if they had input, it probably wouldn't be as vicious. I would get it even if I threw it in the trash can. I would still get it. I'm not saying you should throw it in the trash can.
Josh,
be a mistake.
You know, the university said they were going to have an in-depth study of their operation, and I don't think they've done it, nor do I think they're doing it. But I do think that one of the things they should consider when they have their in-depth study, and I'm more and more of the opinion that the present administration should not make the in-depth study. They should wait till they have a new president, and he should make the in-depth study, because he's going to look at it, you know, in a little different manner, and he's the one who's going to have to be working with it. But I think that one of the, this is one of the things they should consider.
Bob,
don't you think the president's already really been chosen?
One of the...
No.
You don't?
Just to bring you up to date, I asked Josh to come down just to comment on what he thought about the contract, and he said, fine. One of the things he suggested is that, that one of the things that these people could do is to give us a study, and we ought to get on with it, so that the university in Alaska would begin to more or less take areas of jurisdiction. Like, for example,
if they'll stop this bifly over here, I can understand you a little better.
For example, you could have in Juneau, you'd have your School of Political Science and Public Administration, because it's the capital.
Okay.
In Anchorage, you'd have your liberal arts. In Fairbanks, you'd have your Institution of Mining Science Engineering. In Sitka, you might have your School of Journalism or whatever, and maybe in Seward or Kodiak, your Marine Science School. And when the kid, the first 2 years of his basic, then when he picks his major, then he goes to Fairbanks or Ranger or wherever this school or sound. Because it, as the system now stands, without that, we're duplicating and trying to have full universities in all of these places, and we're spread ourselves too thin. The second advantage of that is it will kind of take some of this regionalism out of the thing. In other words, the way it is now, Anchorage is eventually going to suck up these students because of the population center and that sort of thing, and it's a problem for Fairbanks particularly.
You raised a question about who you speak on, sir?
Yeah, I just brought you up of what the conversation was when you were going.
Yeah, I do. Of course,
And we need you here for the vote. Now, would you explain the cost of the contract and what you...
The cost of the contract is $39,500.
Is this with Starcher now or Starcher McClain?
This is with Starcher McClain. Because we didn't pick up our contract February 1, and Starcher didn't know what his position would be, he has taken other work, so that he's not going to be available to us all the time, so that he felt and I feel that we do need backup, and that it would probably be a good idea to go the McClain way another year. And if we feel that we should make a change, this is not the time to do it, because of the fact that it's almost near the end of a legislative session. These people are well grounded in what our problems are. Go along at least this year, and then if we feel that there may be a change, we have time to look for somebody else.
39,000 would cover what period of time?
Until next February 1.
Okay.
See, we have George now, and he's of course we pay by Starcher or by McClain.
And what service would they provide in terms of
anything we want? They
wouldn't have a man here in Juneau all the time.
No.
As the Starcher,
as the initial proposal was.
Okay.
This is somebody here during the session, right? That letter says somebody's going to be here during the session.
But this was to be Starcher, and because we didn't pick this up by the 1st of February, Starcher has taken other work, and he can give us some time, but not the time that we would probably need him the most in March.
Yeah, because I don't think we need the rest of the session anyway.
Well, I do think that we need him until we can put the post-secondary bit and the tuition bit straightened out. There's a little problem over in Sitka that has to be taken care of.
Okay, what's the motion?
Well, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we accept another contract with the McLean Associates as on the outline, on this outline, with the additional request for subject studies that we have been discussing.
As set forth in the memorandum of such and such a date.
Yes, January 29th.
The offer to contract.
Yes.
Assuming you change the dates.
All right. Pardon?
You change the dates, I assume. No point in backdating to February 1.
No, there isn't. But I think it would have to be included.
A one-year contract.
Just 1 year contract, but I think it should be from to include the time that Starcher's here. The thing that we forget, it's easy to forget, that they are in constant communication with the people from all of our schools, professors, heads of departments, the presidents, you know, they have a constant ongoing, work here at Starcher has a constant ongoing correspondence with these people. So that it isn't just the work he does while he's here. You know, he acts as a consultant.
I have a further question. Then what we're going to get is roughly what's outlined here, but with less Starcher because of his availability,
yes.
His lack of availability, mm-hmm. and more of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. We'll have somebody that, covering the base.
It'll be the bases
that,
will be covered.
That'll be in the next, I think it's next 2 months that he has accepted other things.
And then he'll be pretty much on board all the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Well, do I hear an objection to the motion? I hear no objection, that's all right.
May I make a comment for
you? Yeah.
I would say you probably will need someone on board for about 2 more years. Probably be 2 years before the university, get up sick down cruise. But we may have an immediate problem unless my associate Vernon gave you in trouble again. Unless my associate
Vernon. They deny
well. But when, anyway, and I call up, you know, because I got up in my neck in that last year. So I call up and they start playing games with me. You know? So I call my piece, you know, my piece called up there, shoot out a few red, and I got a call. You know? And so then they start coming clean. Number one, when we put that together last year, that 22.5% for FY74 was supposed to be in the bank in hand July 1, 73. Well, not only, they're still trying to raise enough money to get them through FY73. They're trying to get enough money to wrap it. They're trying to put together enough dough. They're about $400,000 short of the $600,000 that they had cranked in the budget from public sources, not private sources.
Donations. Yeah, I read that in the paper.
Okay. And I said, well, I'm reading things wrong, so I'm going to call up and check this out, and I want to hear it myself, you know? Yeah, I'm trying to make that. But I said, then are you aware that if you don't have 22.5% of your FY before budget on July 1, that you're ineligible? Oh, you're stupid. I'm ineligible. So, oh, no, said, you're confused. I'm confused.
Thank you.
Landlords of town.
Just get it straightened out.
They no subleases, please.
All of next year. Their interpretation is that they have all of next year to do July 1 of 74 to raise their 22.5% of FY74 budget.
Where did you get that idea?
Well, I'm just bringing you up today.
I don't know. They also were playing some little games.
In the construction, weren't they?
No, they were also playing some little games with student fees and that thing.
And in addition to that, before I leave again, they have ready to take the time to check the budget document on the education, on the one section that has the Michigan and Education Broadcasting Center. You would think that they're a state agency. At least they think they're going. They have submitted their proposal, you know how you mentioned a budget document for a budget request. Well, they have laid it out for their nursing program, and they need $200,000, a little over $200,000 from the governor.
You got to cut it to 11 hours.
So now they need to raise $400,000 for the rest between now and July 1 and $800,000.
So I tell you, I don't think you can do them out much longer.
You got no problem. Anyway, they need to raise $1.2 million.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and they've just had every opportunity.
So, now they've ruined your evening.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, if they do go belly up, you know, somebody needs to be watching over that, too.
Now the comedian is leaving, let's get down to business.
I thought I would cheer up your day, Mr. Speaker.
I think it is serious, so what are we going to do?
Well, the reason to me this is serious is that the university is just eventually going to take them over. It's just a question of time. We said that last year.
Yeah, and that's inevitable.
It's going
to happen. And oh, does Billy going to hate to see that day come?
going to be.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we can just see what the university is going to want to do then.
Well, they're going to build some buildings there anyway. This is a cheaper way to get buildings. They're going to give them to us.
Sure, it is.
Those buildings, you know, they're beautiful buildings, but they have limited.
Listen,
oh, well.
It's no worse than Wood Center.
What's the next thing?
Anything else to come on?
You've been to Wood Center?
We'll make a big moonshine still out of that someday.
Didn't you have something else?
Well, I got my five things I thought we were going to discuss. The supplemental,
right,
the budget, and the telephone credit cards, and the interim studies, and the assembly apartments.
Well, let's start on it. But is anybody going to mind if we end up here about 4:30? I have company coming for dinner tonight, and I haven't done anything to get ready for them.
Not unless you want us to convene tomorrow again. Otherwise, let's stay.
Let's hurry.
We can get
I
it done
have to
that
meet
time.
What?
The as far as the assembly apartments, we'll go get when we get that. The first of that. Well, they have tomorrow or the next day. We're supposed to have that report from Department of Administration, and we can't do much today unless you got some something we should be thinking about pending that receiving that report.
I guess not. Interim studies. I'd hope that we could discuss the idea of interim studies. Because we're going to have to prepare a budget. And that thing you and I have talked about, if determining a series of issues, or if a committee chairman has a particular study he wants to conduct, if we think it's meritorious, we ought to have. And I'd like to go home and say, since we didn't do anything in the session, we're
going to
have a lot of interim studies.
Tom, we're just going to have to point out to people that when we have short sessions, we have to have lots of interim studies.
I agree with that. I just wanted to see if the council felt.
Yes. Better. Yes. In addition to that, to bring you up to date, Millie and I have kind of been talking about it. What we thought that we would, I would appoint a series of subcommittees to this council, which has been the normal practice. And that there would be basically five-member subcommittees, three members of the council, and then there would be the chairman of the primary committee of the House and Senate. For example, education subcommittee would have Helen Byrne and Lowell Thomas. He's the one of the Senate, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And three members.
This is the higher education?
Yeah.
No.
And three members of the council. We do this for two reasons. One, we stack it in favor of the council so they retain control. But we take the primary chairman of each house so they're informed and will cooperate and get move the legislation through. So much of the legislation can be introduced as their committee legislation. And of course, the funding will be retained through council. And so we want to maintain control, you see? And we would have, for example, we're going to have this on this transportation bill. That thing, I intend to appoint myself as chairman of that subcommittee and work on that bill in the interim session to hopefully have something. And Randolph be working with me, and C.R. Lewis and Commerce be represented on that, so that when we come the next day, first day of next session, we've got a bill that we've had hearings on and everything, and we get ready to move on it,
yeah.
And there are other areas, same type of thing.
Well, it seems to me that there are quite a few studies that people have in mind. And if you try to have three members of council, each one of those committees, council members just won't stretch that far. I don't know why you really insist that you had three members of council.
I don't know.
Well,
why.
Then we have three-man subcommittees with two members of council and
that's
one.
That's right.
One,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Or why couldn't you have three-man committees, one member of council, and two non-council?
Well, I don't want to. Well, yeah. That's possible, but I want to maintain voting control in the council.
Well, you don't have to accept their recommendation. They make recommendations to the council. If they're not agreeing with the council's thinking, the council doesn't have to accept it. But
right.
You know,
right.
It seems to me you can
I
have.
I agree with you 2-1, at least 2-1.
Well, you only got two people.
Two council
well,
members
have,
on a three-man committee.
People.
But at least I've thought of maybe a half a dozen just from the House side, a half a dozen different studies going on. All right, that takes you're gonna have 12 council members involved in those studies, and they just you know gonna be a full-time legislature. I think that. There are committee chairmen who are the primary people who want to conduct some interim hearings, and I think they ought to be given their lead. Let them run.
Well,
rather than try to tie.
Let me put it like this: of the subcommittees that are born of the council itself, that's the way we'll do it. But if there's now you've got a study that you want performed, the legislature can do it. Maybe something else can be worked out. Go ahead.
Helen Byrne, for instance, is working up a proposal. For a study on
childhood education or some, you know, something that deals with retarded, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of public support for that one. I don't see any reason why Helen Byrne shouldn't be able to chair a committee like that. Goodness knows she'll do the work. And if you're going to have somebody like Lowell chairing it because he has to be a member of the Legislative Council, you know, she's going to do much more effective work than Lowell ever will do.
That's my
but
argument.
Then if this can be something that comes out of the Health, Welfare, and Education Committee, that's something a little bit different, you know.
Well, it seems to me that for interim studies, Randolph wants to do one in the area of money and banking, and I think he ought to be able to do one in money and banking. We fund it here. We determine the extent to which he can go as far as money is concerned from this group here. But I don't know why we have to stack every committee, because we can't be that active. If we happen to have a half a dozen interim studies, you can have
two. Well, all right, maybe we don't have to be that active as far as council. As long as we retain control of the funding and the creation of the naming of the members of the subcommittee.
I think if anybody on the council wants to serve on something, they should be committed to it.
Well, not for example. I don't necessarily agree with that either. The Pipeline Impact Committee, which I was opposed to, but that was appointed by the president and the speaker, but it was funded through Legislative Council. I can see that kind of thing. I think that's perfectly appropriate. I don't think
I don't want any special things like that. I think that council. Money was earmarked
the
through the council. They might as well just have a flat appropriation.
The president of the Senate is appointed a special pipeline impact committee. 7 members. You know, and I know they're going to want a big chunk of dough. Now, it seems to me the money should be appropriated to the council, and council should determine what they're going to spend. But I don't know why Terry can't appoint that committee. Why the legislative council? Has
well, that's a different thing altogether. Now, I'm talking about the subcommittees that either through resolution or through our own initiative we want to appoint. Now, the speaker and the president can appoint special committees to do things during the interim, and there'll be funding will come through here. That's another ball game.
I see. You're looking at 2 different types of
committees. Right. Yeah. Right. And we ought to address ourselves to that special impact committee too. You know, we've just ignored
that. We certainly should.
I don't know how. That's your baby. I don't know how you want to handle it. I'll naturally back up any way I can, whatever you decide. But we got to do something because.
Mr. Chairman, being that has come up, I have been trying to figure out something to come up with a suggestion, and I certainly don't like the business of being on the Legislative Council and sitting twiddling my thumbs while the Senate has. Now, they started a special impact committee that was for the impact of what's going to happen with all of us when the pipeline comes. Now that's rapidly been changed by the press. It's now an impact committee just like we had before, except only the Senate has it. And I note that this doesn't leave much representation in my community.
Well, they have nearly a third of their membership on the
committee.
They got
7 people on it. If it's a joint committee, we'd appoint 7. You have a 14-man committee? Ridiculous.
I think so, too. But
ridiculous.
I would say that if they appoint a committee such as that, and it's going to be a joint committee and through the Legislative Council, I would say that at least the House would turn around and say the House members of the Legislative Council are on that committee. Otherwise, the Senate, I just don't like to see that the Senate is going to handle everything to do with oil that my community is.
Well, then we're going to work it. The House will have a committee, but I don't even think it'll be working with the Senate committee, because I think a 14-man committee is unworkable.
I do too.
But I'd like to know what's going on. I mean, what they're finding out.
You might enter into an agreement with the Senate to make subcommittees that and make your appointments based on that line.
I don't know.
Break it down and divide the committee.
I'd just like to know what they're
doing. Well, the Senate's gone off on their own and appointed a bunch of committees while we're in session, which I'm opposed to. And but on the other hand, I think we're out there in certain areas. That area of the pipeline is one that we could certainly have some work done on.
Control over that on account of funding?
We'll have control on funding, but what are you going to do once they appoint a 7? You're going to say you're going to cut it back to 3 or we won't fund it?
No, I think, though, we can say that we're not going to fund it through Legislative Council if it isn't going to be a two-house committee for an interim committee, and therefore you can put a bill through to get it funded if you want it funded as an interim committee.
I thought this wasn't an interim committee. I thought it was...
It's both.
I understand it's both.
It's during the session and between sessions.
Yeah. Oh, it's between sessions when they're going to do their traveling.
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about a $200,000 budget.
Are you kidding?
No, that's what they want.
That's what
the chairman wants.
How much?
$200,000 budget.
They all went down, didn't they all go to Seattle last weekend?
But I guess they went their own money.
Really?
I'm totally.
Well, I'm trying to get reimbursed.
Well, I don't know. I heard one of them filling out his, talking about filling out his slip with Lucille or someone, so somebody got paid for it. I believe that was.
Did they come out?
The only one that got paid for that trip so far last week was Russ. Russ is the only one that traveled on it to you.
Well, didn't Rake announce that everybody was going their own money? Seems to me he announced.
Well, that was a result, I know.
They transpired from this point on, but they did pay their own way down, or at least I did not pay their own way.
See, I don't see why they should pay their own way, but I heard somebody talking in the lounge about filling out their TR so that they could do it. Maybe they ended up not doing it afterwards, but it was sure one of those members.
Well, I wouldn't, until the council authorized pay, I go by what the council authorized.
Seven people roaming around the globe.
It seems to me before we can submit the budget, and we got, this has to be submitted sometime in the next 10 days, we have to get some idea of the interim studies that we're going to have. Then maybe the interim studies are a result of the president's appointments or the speaker's appointments or legislative council's appointments, and how much money we're going to ask for. And it appears to me, you know, all the money should come through legislative council for whatever studies, regardless of who.
Yes. That's right. I agree with that.
Well, I oppose the idea of a one-house committee without the other house.
Well, are you going to appoint us?
It'll be a different name of some kind, but it'll be active somewhere in that area. But I can't see, you know, I can't see joining their seven people. I just think it's absolutely unworkable.
Well, I can't see $200,000 either, just between you and me.
I'd like to see a series of studies of maybe $30,000
max. Yeah.
Well, how are they going to justify? When are they going to make their presentation to the council as to what they want to do?
They probably, I don't know, maybe they're going to make it directly to the finance. I don't know. Finance chairman of the Senate's on the committee.
Well, it seems to me if they continue to go on up on this sort of a thing, what's the use of a legislative council? I mean, if this...
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, you know, I think all these committees that are appointed for interim, they all should be appointed as subcommittees of council. I don't really think the Speaker or the President's going to give up his power of appointing special committees, but I think that he could agree
when it comes to funding.
I think he could agree that they all, between sessions, are under legislative council.
How can he justify a $200,000 budget? To do what?
Go to Europe, Denver,
San Francisco, Chicago, New York,
Boston.
Arabia?
Arabian
oil?
The Norwegian countries.
That brings up the reindeer study in our trip to
Lapland. Dick and I are going to Lapland. We're going to take Frank Ferguson along.
Well, I think you're going to have to decide whether or not the council is going to have control of purse strings or not.
Dick's going to have to make a trip to Ireland to find out how to do it.
Don't you?
Yeah. Well, I think that I would think our house would be no problem. Our house would agree that it would all funding to go through council. I think our house would. But we're going to have to talk to our counterparts in the Senate. See if they'll agree.
Well, how many do we have? Are we able with it?
Is there any other way to fund it, other than putting a bill through and getting it through both houses?
They put it right the line item of the budget. It'd be so much money for a legislative council.
Impact
committee. Yeah.
Well, that's what they did before. Isn't that what they did before?
No, we put it in legislative council last year.
Yeah, but the old
pipeline
committee. It was in the council budget. Anything like this, John, would have to be in the council budget.
But it was line item.
Because my office has to. The council did not have control over spending of the fund. It was a line item, $75,000, and Chancey. And so he was the one authorized to expend the funds. The council did not have any say-so in the expenditure.
Well, the council just must have let him have done that, because in the pre-conference on the budget, it was clear that the money was to be handled by legislative council, and they were to get their money from legislative council. But somebody must have told Chancellor to go ahead and spend it whatever you wanted, but that's not the way
that isn't the way it came to the council, Mr. Speaker. They had a line item in there and for the pipeline committee, and the council didn't have anything to do with expenditure of that money.
I know that wasn't the intent of the pre-conference committee on the budget, because it almost got wiped out, and they ended up leaving it in so long as it was controlled by council.
Now you know what happened after that.
Well, that happens all the time.
The chairman of the council probably just told Chancey, just go spend it whatever you want.
Well, it seems to me this is going to get us into a political problem with the other body, so we better
Another study that we should certainly have is one on our corrections and parole and probation and all this stuff. And it's a study that we can get funded by LEAA, but it's something that I think should be under legislative counsel and not under the courts or health and social services or education.
May I, Mr. Chairman? I think maybe this is something that we should bring up at the criminal justice meeting on the 7th. Because I believe that there's something ongoing, and I believe that we don't need to fund it through here. And I don't think you need to control that study. I think it can be a staff study by...
Do you mind if I say I'm not too impressed with your staff?
Well, we have a pretty broad... If you're talking about the executive director, he isn't the entire staff.
I know. Well, anyhow, that's something that needs to be...
If you have something to feed me on it, I would appreciate hearing it and working closely with you. But I just don't want to see us do any duplication there.
No,
but if there's something wrong, I'd like to work with you on clearing it up. And if legislative counsel can be used in helping to do that, I'll be all with you, Bill.
Dick, I think you and I and Terry ought to chat and get him to agree. I'm willing to agree that any special committees appointed would work under counsel as far as their money's concerned. And their reports would come back in through legislative council.
Which then you're going to have to settle on a formula, because otherwise we're going to have one hell of a mess.
That's right, which would then direct any special committee to make a presentation to us as to how much money they'd like to have. And we determine how much to incorporate in the budget.
But that $200,000 is ridiculous.
You're not fighting me.
No, it's very ridiculous. Now, the Impact Committee last year was very active, including Big Bill, and that was only $75,000, right?
Yeah.
We could use some more Witherspoon, too.
The need for that Impact thing, as far as I'm concerned, is over.
Well, there's some meaningful work to do. The question is whether or not the committee is going to direct itself to some meaningful work. Or whether they're just going to go around and play with me, be entertained by bankers and oil people and things like that. So, but I think you and I and Terry ought to chat, get Terry to agree.
You have to be better than that the first of the week, because what is normally the, what was the council's budget last year, $200,000?
For travel or?
No.
Didn't I hear that
be ironic to have them have the same budget same size budget.
The actual figure we spent last year was what is authorized this year is $2,304,000.
They spent $2,005,000 the year before.
Right. See that, and our budget is a lump sum budget. That includes all expenses of the legislature, this office, your per diem, everything.
Staff, everything.
That takes in
the whole
thing. What's next on your agenda down there?
Well, are we gonna sometime in the next week pursue, determine what studies we're gonna have, and then maybe put some money in for some miscellaneous studies we don't really know about.
What's the normal contingency fund that we carry?
I think
it's $50,000.
We have a contingency fund. $75,000, but we'll get our studies in.
Yeah. I can see, for example, just say we're going to have 7 studies and 30,000 apiece, we got $210,000 for studies.
Right.
And then each guy that's conducting a study is going to have to come in and tell us what he needs some money for.
Right.
That's maybe
right.
Justified, maybe not.
That's right. And I'll have a sludge fund, $75,000.
Well, maybe we can move.
Chairman's fund.
Seriously, do you suppose that we could get that pretty well lined up and then have a council meeting, say, Friday afternoon? And,
but from the way these council meetings have been going, I just determined today that we're going to sit down and kind of have everything lined up and just call them and say, vote on it.
That's right.
These parties we're having, they don't attend. The Senate is not treating it as a very serious matter, obviously.
Well, it's just that everything else they're doing is more serious.
Now, I wanted also to discuss the telephone credit card, but I guess we really can't without the Senate members here. But I still would like to give the rest of the legislators credit cards and just announce that when we give them the credit cards that we consider who they call as or that type of stuff as public information. If somebody wants to come in and check their phone bills, they got a perfect right to do it.
How
are the phone bills running right now compared with last year?
He doesn't know.
We don't have a single billing for a phone yet this year, not even the installation.
We need to have one for our apartment.
There's a choice, all this in.
Are we just abandoning any control?
I was getting telephones for everybody. What do you want?
Well, I said we don't even have a bill from our apartment.
Well, that would be an abandonment. It just seems to me you give them a credit card and give them a letter and say it's to be used for legislative business during the session. And
I really think you have more of a hole than you've got now because they're just using all the phones.
The only accountability that we have is that if the public wants to look at any of our phone bills, we're not going to deprive them of it.
Mr. Speaker, may I just suggest that I couldn't do that as long as that lawsuit's pending.
Why?
Why?
Well, yeah. Well, you could, I suppose you could do it, but it would make the suit moot, of course. But I think there are individual members of the legislature who
Well, okay.
The whole issue is in court, right?
To me, right now, we would be talking about from this day forward. Then, of course, after I got that disposed of, then I'd like to talk about the past too. But if you give them a credit card and tell them in advance, now our phone bills are public information. As long as you realize that, if you get a credit card, do what you want with it.
Especially that we're making them public information now, and tell everybody that we're doing it.
Well, now, as far as the back phone calls, I presume we're going to have the Senate here and see what they have to say. I personally would let them look at the back phone calls too, but some people may feel that that's embarrassing.
Just as a matter of information to the council on the status of that phone suit, I think what the Attorney General is attempting to do at the present time. Right now, the legislature as a whole has been sued, and me as the head of this agency. What they're trying to do now is make the individual members of the 7th legislature defendants in their own right, which in effect would mean that those legislators who did not feel there was an issue of privacy here or anything would be free to release those, and the other members would also indicate those members of the legislature who wanted to fight further, they could retain their own counsel and pursue the case by suicide.